This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahda. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أولئك حزب الله ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, inshallah in today's talk I want to speak about a Sahabi which in many ways is very related to the events that are happening in this world. And he is a Sahabi who has got an incredible story and an incredible experience. And who I'm speaking about is Tamim Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Tamim Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a very famous companion. In fact, he is known in the books of hadith as the Palestinian companion. And before anyone says that Palestinians are something that is new, firstly it tells us that it has been part and parcel of our history. And none other than Imam Zahabi Rahmatullah Ali. Imam Zahabi Rahmatullah Ali is the Imam of Asma'ul Rijal. He was the one who knows most about the narrators of hadith. So he has termed it as someone who comes from the Palestinian region, and he is from the tribe of Banu Dar, a clan of the Lakham tribe, which is near the city of Khalil, near the city of Hebron. And he was very interested in Islam, and narrations make mention he was on his way to come to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to inquire or to pursue Islam when an incident took place that is nothing short of extraordinary, an incredible incident. He is a Sahabi, the only Sahabi who met and conversed with Dajjal. Tamim Dari wahi ek Sahabi hai jinhone Dajjal ke saath mulaqat ki aur unke saath baatcheet ki. He was the one who spoke to Dajjal. Now what happened was, narrations make mention he was on his way to come in to Medina Munawwara, and then he was on the boat when the boat met up in a storm, and the boat was carried in that storm for almost a month. Eventually, when the storm abated, he found himself near an island, and he took a small boat to get to this island. When he came out of that boat towards the island, he met a person known as Jassasa. And that is why this narration is known as the narration of Jassasa. He met something like a person, a creature who was known as Jassasa. He was almost like a beast-like creature. He was completely full of hair. So much so that you could not distinguish his face from the back of his head, because everything was covered in hair. So Jassasa told them that you have come here to this island, but more than seeing me, because of course they came to an island, they had been tossed aside for a month, they were, you know, what you will say, apprehensive, you know, and in this particular way they met this person. He said, I want you to go to a building in this island, a top type of a monastery, and there you will find a person, he is very keen to meet you. Right? So this Jassasa, that is why it is known, the hadith is known as Hadith Jassasa. And Jassasa comes from the root word, which Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, La tajassasu, do not spy. So perhaps some narrators had said he was a spy for Dajjal. So they come, and they come and meet this person. He said he was the largest man we had ever seen. He was bound in chains with his hands tied to his neck in chain, and his knees and his feet also chained. Right? So when they saw him, they were apprehensive, frightened. Who are you? So he said, before I tell you who am I, let me ask you questions at who you are and where you come from. And then they gave the background. We come from this particular tribe in the Middle Eastern region, near Palestine, near Hebron. And we were met up in a storm, and eventually we landed in this island. So then he asked them certain questions about what is happening in the world. So he asked them, tell me about the date trees of Baysan. Because Baysan was in Jordan, and it had a lot of fruit trees and date palms. Tell me about Baysan. Does it still have date palms and fruit trees? And they said, yes, it's still full of trees, date palms, and full of fruits, etc. And he remarked and he said, very soon it will not have any date palms and any trees. And nowadays the same thing has happened as he had made mention of. Then he said, tell me about the lake of Tiberia. Tell me about the lake of Tiberia. Does it have water? And they said, yes, it has plenty of water. The people irrigate their lands with that water. The lake of Tiberia has a lot of water. And he said that very soon it will not have any water, or it will have very little water. Some narrations make mention that that particular lake is known as the River of Galilee, right? And today it is reduced to a trickle, very, very little water. Anyway, he said, he asked them, tell me about Lake Tiberia, does it have water? They said, yes, it had water. And he asked them another question, tell me about the spring of Zughar, which is in the south of Syria, does it have water? They said, yes. Then he asked them the question, tell me about Nabi Ummi, the unlettered prophet. Tell me about the unlettered prophet. What has happened to him? Then they told him that he has, as I tell you, that Tamim Adari was on his way to go and meet Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he said that he has migrated to Yathrib. They said, what is the relationship between him and the Arab tribes? So he said, well, initially there were the wars in which there was alternating victory and failure with regard to those wars, but eventually, because this was now towards the end of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, he has managed to convince and he has control over his neighboring regions. And the Arabs are following him. And then he makes a comment and he said, it is in their interest to follow him. It is in their interest to follow him. Then after all these questions, they asked him, who are you? So he said, I am Dajjal. I am Dajjal. And I am Dajjal. I will make my way before the time of Qiyamah into this world. I will travel the world. And of course, we know that Dajjal will deceive people. He will take them out of Iman. And he said, I will travel throughout the world. Besides two places. One of them is Makkah and one of them is Taiba. Taiba refers to Medina and Munawwara. Now this is what he has made mention. Now when he made mention of it, they eventually came out of this and they made their way to Medina and Munawwara. And because of what had happened, Tamim Adari radiallahu ta'ala anhu became a Muslim. And he related this whole incident to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he became a Muslim and he reverted. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam then called all the Sahaba, As-Salatu Jami'ah. Come. Now whenever Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say As-Salatu Jami'ah, it used to be a means of calling the people to the masjid to declare and to narrate something very important. So Fatima bint Qais is the one who has narrated this hadith, which is in none other than in Sahih Muslim, which is the second most authentic book of hadith. It is in Sahih Muslim. So Fatima bint Qais makes mention of this whole incident that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated that Tamim Adari came and he narrated to me that he saw Dajjal, and this is what had happened. And when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the path and said he will enter into all cities except Makkah and Taiba, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his staff and hit it upon the mimbar and said, this is Taiba, this is Taiba, this is Taiba. And this is what I've always been telling you about Dajjal. That Dajjal will come and he will not be able to enter into Makkah and Madinah Munawwarah. Now that is how Tamim Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu became a Muslim, met Dajjal, and what was the conversation and how he came into Madinah Munawwarah. And after coming into Madinah Munawwarah, how he became a Muslim, and he related this to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who related it to the companions of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now before we go on to with making mention with regard to Tamim Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, few points on this particular incident. One of it is very interesting, that Dajjal, the root word of Dajjal comes from the word Dajjal, which means an imposter, a fraud, who will work on deceit. Dajjal will make things appear to people, but it will not be real. It will be deceit. It will be complete Dajjal. So Dajjal is someone who will rely upon fraud and deceit in misleading people. And is it not amazing that the Sahabi who met him comes from that region, comes from Palestine, and comes from the region where today the country, which is in the forefront with regard to deceit and fraud. So that country, which kills over 40, 50,000 people and still tells the world that it is a victim. So amazingly, that he comes from that region where today the epitome of fraud and deceit is displayed and manifested. And this Sahabi comes from that particular region and that particular place, and he is the one who saw Dajjal. And Dajjal, as I said, is the one who is full of fraud, and the people who are following him, and of course we know that there will be this group that will follow Dajjal. So the first point we would like to make mention of. The second point is something that is very, very interesting. Many a times people will say, if there is such an island and Dajjal was in there, what happens? Today the scientists have explored all different types of islands. They have just uncovered every island. So if Dajjal is alive and he saw him in an island, what happened to that island? And some of us even will say, why can't we find it on Google Maps? Why can't we find it on Waze? Why can't we find that particular type of island on Google Maps and Waze? Well, first let me tell you, it's a very complete myth to say that humanity have uncovered all islands. It's a complete myth. Only in Indonesia, there are 17,500 islands. Only in Indonesia, 17,500 islands. So for some people to say that we have uncovered all the islands is a myth, right? And there are many islands only in Indonesia that have not been uncovered. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe in this because it comes in Sahih Muslim, it's an authentic narration, and the muhaddithin have authenticated it, we believe in it. So we must not become, you know, explorers or people who want to travel and try to understand the hadith of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many situations, there are many, you know, civilizations that had been in the past that existed, that Allah ta'ala makes mention of it, civilization makes mention of it, history made mention of it, but it has been covered by dust, had been covered by other land, and later on, through the means of digging, in archaeological type of digging, people have come to find out about it. So it is not uncommon that it could have been there, it could have been covered, but however, whatever it is for us to believe in this particular type of narrations. And for us, we submit to these, you know, ahadith, which makes mention with regard to the signs of Qiyamah, and there are many similar type of hadith. One of them is this, that, you know, Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu saw Dajjal. One of them is in Ya'juj Ma'juj, that they have been trying to get away from where they have been, you know, imprisoned and put under a barrier by Dhulqarnain. Where it is, we believe in it. The Quran makes mention of it, that they are there. Well, they will come before Qiyamah is one of the signs of Qiyamah. Dajjal will come as one of the signs of Qiyamah. The hadith makes mention that Tamim Dari saw Dajjal, and this was a conversation that I have narrated to you. Now, Tamim Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He became a Muslim. Now, either in that journey or other journeys, Tamim Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu became very close to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And one of the things that he did was, he was a very generous person. And he was a person who used to have great amount of love to help humanity. And this is one of the cornerstones of our deen. The best of people, anfa'uhum linnas, is the one who is of benefit to people. So this was Tamim al-Dari radiallahu ta'ala. To Tamim al-Dari, either in this or one of the other subsequent journeys, brought certain gifts to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? On one occasion he bought a horse, he bought 5 slaves, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam freed all those slaves, and one of the things that he did was, he brought olive oil and oil candles from Palestine, you know, to Medina and Munawwara. Now this is significant, because you would recall that Maymuna bint Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anha one day asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Ya Rasulullah, tell us about Masjid Al-Aqsa. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is a place of blessedness and the place of resurrection. Masjid Al-Aqsa barakat ki jagah hai aur jo hai na usme jo hai na qiyamah ki nishani wahi se hoga, bahut se nishani wahan se hoga. So she said, what must I do? Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go and visit Masjid Al-Aqsa. If you can't visit Masjid Al-Aqsa, send olive oil to be used in the lamps that will illuminate Masjid Al-Aqsa. Send olive oil. Go and do something. Keep your ta'alluq with Masjid Al-Aqsa. So we must always keep our ta'alluq with Masjid Al-Aqsa. And this Masjid Al-Aqsa and its surroundings has been known as a place of olives. And one of the oppressors' ways that they do to hurt the Palestinians is to cut the olive trees. And olive trees take a long time to grow. And it needs a lot of care to be able to bring its fruit. And of course it's a blessed tree and a blessed oil. وَشَجَرَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ تُورِ سَيْنَا تَنْبُتُ بِالدُّحْنِ وَصِبْغٍ لِلْعَاكِلِينَ Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, eat olive oil and massage your body with olive oil because it's a blessed oil. So that is a place, and we make dua, brothers. Just as Allah Ta'ala has granted a degree of freedom to Syria, Allah Ta'ala one day inshallah will bring freedom to Masjid Al-Aqsa and the place of olives also. Say Ameen loud to it inshallah. So now he brought olives and he brought olive oil and he brought candles. So once he came to Masjid Al-Nabawi, now that time up till the ninth year of Hijri, 1 or 2 years before Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, never ever was there any type of light that was lit in Masjid al-Nabawi. Never. So the first person to light a lamp in Masjid al-Nabawi was this very same Tamim al-Dari radiallahu ta'ala. So he brought this lamps and he bought olive oil. So when he came after Maghrib, he lit up the lamps. And Masjid al-Nabawi was illuminated. So when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this. Never before did he see this. And he said, who lit up my masjid? Who illuminated my masjid? Subhanallah. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed happiness. Although there were circumstances that he had not lit before. When he saw this, he said, who lit it up? So he said, Tamim al-Dari. You know what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may Allah illuminate and give you nur and light in this world and in the year after, the way you have lit up my masjid. The way you lit up my masjid. Jaise aapne mere masjid ko roshan kar diya. Allah Ta'ala aapko roshan kare is dunya aur akhirat mein. Allah Ta'ala illuminate you in this world and in the year after. So sometimes you get happy when this illumination comes. So we get happy when this new chandelier came. So he brought this whole particular aspect. And he said, may Allah Ta'ala illuminate you. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a testimony to his character. What an amazing testimony. He said, if I had any unmarried daughters, I would have given it to you, O Tamim. If I had any unmarried, all my daughters are married. Right? So some of them passed away, some of them were still alive. If I had any unmarried daughters, O Tamim, I would have given them to you in marriage. Because Tamim was such a generous person who had such good akhlaq. And then narrations made mention that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave him his sister in marriage. And one of the cousins of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I think it was the daughter of Harith bin Abdul Muttalib, also gave him the daughter to get married. Now Tamim al-Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also known for a few other things. One is, he narrated many ahadith from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The famous hadith, ad-deenun nasiha. Deen is nasiha. Deen is well-wishing. So it was also narrated from Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu. And together with this, he was a manifestation of that. Subhanallah. Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu was known amongst the sahaba to help people. People loved Tamim Dari because he used to help people. Whenever, even the reverts who used to revert, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to put them under the tutorship of Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu. And unfortunately today we have to make mention, we don't pay much attention to reverts. Many times we make judgment calls, they're reverting for some reason. We're not there to judge them, brothers. We don't know what is in their heart. We must be able to welcome and embrace them into the community of Islam. You know, that's what Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu was known for. And he was also known for his ibadat. Normally he used to complete his Quran in 7 days. And it is said that occasionally in Ramadan in particular, Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu used to make khatam of the Quran in 1 rakat. And then also another important aspect of Tamim Dari. And today we are following it. I'm following it right now. I'm following that right now. Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu used to give advice in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu in Jummah, before Umar used to come and give the khutbah. So Tamim Dari used to give advices to the Muslims before Umar used to come and give the khutbah. So many times people say, you're giving this, you know, talks, and then you give the khutbah. What is the dalil for it? Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu used to give advice to the Muslims before Umar used to come and give the khutbah. And then lastly, a very amazing thing with regard to it. When he accepted Islam, he told Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I know, you are the last Nabi of Allah. Allah is going to give you authority and victory over Masjid Aqsa and its surrounds in the blessed land. I implore you, I'm from that region, allot a piece of land for me in that blessed land, in near Bethlehem or near Hebron. Give me a land from there, allot a land from me. So Nabi Karim s.a.w. allotted a land from him near Hebron or near Bethlehem. I don't know the exact details. Right. Now this is a miracle of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is allotting a land to him prior to it even conquering it, out of the miracle. This is a miracle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he knew one day Allah Ta'ala is going to grant him victory over that land. And at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, when that land was conquered, that the Sahaba gave it over to him and his family. It was not used for his own purpose. It was known as a waqf. And he used to use it for the benefit of the people. And historians make mention that that particular land was in his family till recently. Now we don't know about the zulm and oppression that is carrying on, what actually happened. But one of the very, you know, Egyptian historian, Ibn Lahya, has made mention that for centuries it was in the family and the lineage of Tamim Dari, that they used to look after that land. Tamim Dari went to Palestine in 655 of the common era, and he died in 661. And according to the tradition, he passed away near Hebron in a place called Beit Jibril. In a place called Beit Jibril, which is near Hebron. And it was destroyed by the occupying forces after 1948. His qabr is there. His qabr is neglected, is abandoned, just north of the kibbutz Beit Huvrin, in one of the settlements in Israel. Around his qabr is all settlers. But of course, that doesn't diminish the status of a person. A qabr doesn't increase or diminish the status of a person. It is what he had done that increases his status and his honor. And Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu is one of those great sahaba who had such a remarkable legacy. The only sahabi who met and saw Dajjal, and he came to give a report with regard to what he had seen. And that is one of the signs of Qiyamah, and that is one of the forecasts and the predictions of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah give you the tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.